And really, along that same theme, the Word of God, if you'd open to your Bibles to Psalm 138, Psalm 138, we'll read verses 1 and 2 there, and that'll kind of be the jumping off point for us tonight. But there's a truth here that I think sometimes we miss, or sometimes we don't think enough about. But Psalm 138, verse 1 says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And that last phrase there, if you think about what that means, thou hast magnified thy name, thy word rather, above all thy name. Let's pray for a moment. Father God, thank you for the time that we can be here. Thank you for these folks that have gathered. I pray, Father, that you would just bless this time we have in your word, that you would bless your word, that you would use it to speak to hearts, and Father, that you would use me, and God, that the words I speak would be what you would have said tonight, nothing more and nothing less. And I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. That's a tremendous statement, because the name God is no small thing. I don't think it's an exaggeration at all to say that there's no greater name than that name God. And I know that people use that in a very flippant way oftentimes, and oftentimes it's a three-letter swear word to a lot of people. I remember a pastor of mine when I was in Bible college saying that he heard somebody talking about God, you know, in swearing, and he said, you must really hate that guy. And they said, what guy? And they said, God. You must really hate God to talk about him that way. You know, and that's how the name of God is often used by people. They don't really understand who God is and what that name represents and stands for. But we do, I think. We understand that. But as great a name as it is, he says his word is greater. And that's not a small statement to make. And the greatness of God's names is evidenced by the meaning of that name, Jehovah. In our English Bible, it has it too. But the Hebrews used several names to describe God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. That was in Genesis 22:14 when the ram was offered in the place of Isaac. And then Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. That's from Exodus 17:15 when Joshua defeated Amalek. And then Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace, from Judges 6:24 when Gideon was sent and was called to destroy the Midian army there. And Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord our host, 1 Samuel chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 in particular, when Isaiah saw the glory of God, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up there. And Jehovah Mekadishkim, the Lord our sanctifier, from Exodus 31, God commanding that the Sabbath be kept. And Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd, from Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jehovah Tirkinu, the Lord our righteousness, This was used by Jeremiah when he promised that the branch of David, the Messiah, would come through David there. And Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Ezekiel 48, Ezekiel used that in renaming the city of Jerusalem at the end of the chapter there. And Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, when Moses put the branch into the water and the water became sweet in the wilderness there. But they had the idea here is that they had all of these names for these different situations, how God was great before them and how he met their needs. And so Jehovah, the name Jehovah, there's nothing more reverent to the Hebrew people, and rightfully so, and it should be nothing more reverent to us than the name God. And shame on us for using it in a flippant manner like that. But it's also evidenced by the Hebrew priests and scribes when they went about. Now we have the press and we have the printed page and all that, but back in the day, it was handwritten on papyrus paper. And that stuff that was made from plants, so it would deteriorate over time. And as it deteriorated, of course, it had to be hand copied onto another page. And when those scribes went about that business to do that, they would change their clothes for reverence for God and for His Word. And when they came to that word Jehovah, they'd stop and they'd get a new pen. And they'd dip it in that ink freshly, so that name Jehovah wasn't in any way marred or smeared or defaced, so that it was a very clear thing. And so we see that there is no greater name on heaven and earth than God. Yet still, as great as God's name is, He says that He regards His word higher than that. And I got to thinking about how could that be? And you know what makes someone's name great? It's their word, isn't it? It's their word. Because when someone makes promises and doesn't keep their word, their reputation is poor, right? But when someone, I remember my dad teaching me, and perhaps yours did too, but he always told us, your word is your bond. He said, when you give your word, he said, then that's your reputation on the line. So you have to keep your word. And that's what makes God's word so great, and that's what makes God's name so great. God said He never changes, and God said He cannot lie. And so when you think about His name is as great as it is because His word is His bond, if you will. And His word is what makes it great. And you know, God gave us this spoken word. The first words are recorded in the Bible. You know, the spoken word, we see that in Deuteronomy, and in Deuteronomy 8:3 and in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so it's a great word, and you know, God spoke through the prophets. We see that in Hebrews chapter 1, that's how God spoke to His people. And you know, when we read those Old Testament prophets and we see what they're saying, it wasn't their opinion. It wasn't something that they just wanted to say or thought was the right thing to say. But you know, that phrase, thus saith the Lord, the prophets started when they began to preach, they said, thus saith the Lord. They were saying, this word comes from God. So that means something because it comes from God. And you know, thus saith the Lord. Isaiah said that 37 times. Jeremiah 150 times. Ezekiel 130 times. Amos said it 15 times. Obadiah said it. Micah said it twice. Nahum said it. Haggai said it 4 times. Zechariah said it 18 times. Malachi twice. Thus saith the Lord. And Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah, they also said, the word of the Lord came unto me. And so when we open this scripture and we read the Bible, this isn't just some man's words. This isn't somebody's opinion. But this is thus saith the Lord. This is the word of the Lord came unto me, and I wrote it down. And I put it on paper for you. And so God has given this to us, and it's not a small thing, because it's the written word of God, but it's also the spoken word of God. God spoke through the prophets, and you know, and then God gave us the living word, the word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you know, the Bible also says, John also said that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. What a terrible tragedy that is. But the living Word of God came down. Jesus was made flesh. It was God made flesh. And you know, he's such a great, look with me at Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2, and I know you know this passage of Scripture, but verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in earth, and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And so we see that Jesus Christ was made flesh, and he was given a name above every name. He was given a name above that name, Jehovah, that we talked about in the very beginning, that the Hebrew language so eloquently gave all those names and description of who God was and how he met their needs. Yet God gave Jesus Christ, he gave us Jesus Christ and elevated his name above every name. So much so that every knee shall bow before that name. And every knee will confess that name and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And, you know, that's Acts chapter 4, verse 12. The name Jesus is the only name by which a man can be saved. It's the only one. So it's the greatest name that there ever was, yet still the Word of God is greater. And God gave us this Word. And he gave it to us for a purpose. And it wasn't just so we can say it. Of course, we know that the living Word of God was rejected. They refused to receive this living Word of God. And, he was sent by God. He was the Son of God. He was God. He dwelt among us in grace and truth. The Bible tells us in John 1:14, he was the fullness of the Godhead, according to Colossians 2:9. But he came to his own, and his own received him not. But he came with the message of the gospel. He came with the message of eternal life. And he was taken to heaven, and God has left us in these days with the written word of God. The written revelation. So, the word of God was made flesh. He was incarnate, but then the word was put into print. The word was given to us. His word was written down. And we are the stewards, if you will, the keepers of the word of God. And Jesus Christ himself, while he was on the earth, he quoted from the Ten Commandments on four separate times. He quoted the Old Testament as a whole 78 times. He quoted the Pentateuch, those first five books of the Bible, 26 times. He quoted 15 separate Old Testament books during his ministry. He referred to the Old Testament as the Scriptures, the Word of God, and the wisdom of God, and he's given us responsibility for that book, for those words, for the Word of God, the wisdom of God, the Scriptures themselves. The apostles who followed Jesus Christ quoted the Old Testament 209 times. They called the Scriptures the oracles of God. And you know what an oracle is? An oracle is a divine communication or revelation. And so when we come to church, when we go out, when we pick this Bible up, when we open it up, we are reading the divine communication that God gave to man. Some have said that, you know, this was the mind of God. Some have said it's God's love letter. But it's a divine revelation. It's all of those things. But it's a divine revelation that God gave us, and God saw fit, and I can't explain it, but God saw fit to preserve his word perfectly in the English language. And that gives us that great responsibility to continue to preserve it, and that's the printing and all of that kind of stuff, but then to also publish it not just on paper but verbally and around the world. And so all of this they quoted in that the written word of God is greater. It's greatest of all according to the scriptures. And if you look with me at Psalm chapter 68, Psalm chapter 68 and verse number 11. We read there, it says, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. That's us. And we're not just talking, we say publish. That does involve printing, but it's more than printing. Publishing is more than printing. It's spreading it. It's saying it. It's repeating it. It's preaching it. It's telling people about it. But the Word of God is to be published. Look with me, Mark chapter 13, verse 10. It says there in Mark 13, verse 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. That's our responsibility. God gave us the Word of God. He put it in our hands. It's the holy Word of God, greater than the name of God. And he said that your responsibility is to publish it among all nations. And that's why we have missions programs. And that's why we have missionaries. And that's why we do the things we do and spend the money and the time that we do to get the gospel around. Because it's not just any book. It's the greatest book that was ever written. And it's and the words of this book are greater than the name of God. Think about that. And that's our responsibility. And that's what God's given us. In Mark 1:45, Jesus Christ healed the leper. And you know what the scripture says? It says that when the leper was healed, that the word, it was published much, and he blazed the matter abroad. He blazed the word of God along. He blazed abroad what Jesus Christ did for him. And I like that word, blazed abroad. You think of a fire spreading quickly. And so that man, he spread as quickly as he could possibly do it to his fire and to everybody he knew as quickly as possible. It just spread like wildfire. This is what God did for me. Amen. And that's all we're to do is what God did for us. Spread that word. And the maniac of Gadara in Mark 5:20, it says he published the word in Decapolis. What did he publish? The great things Jesus has done. And that's what we're to publish. We're to take this word and show the great things that Jesus has done, both in us and in others, and what he can do for others, what he can do for those that don't know Jesus Christ yet. Peter, when he addressed Cornelius and his family and his friends, he told them to publish the word of God. Acts 10:37, it says they published it throughout all Judea. They took what Peter said literally. And we can take this literally. We're to publish the word of God. We're to spread it about. That's why we spent 20 years in the former Soviet Union, 15 in Belarus, a year in Russia, and 4 in the UK. And that's why we did it, because we were to publish the word of God. That's why Campaigns for Christ exist. That's why Couriers for Christ exist. That's why BPS exists, because we're to blaze the matter abroad. And we're to do it in a manner that's as quickly as possible. And when Paul came back to Antioch, he giving a report, he said the word of the Lord was published throughout all the regions. And would to God that when our time is finished, that we can say that the word of God was published throughout all the regions. That we could say that we spread that word along. God has entrusted us with his word. He's given it to us in a perfect, unadulterated form. Greater than his word. And he's entrusted us with it. And his truth, it says in Psalm 101-5, he says, his truth endures to all generations. And we must send that word of God around the world. He's entrusted it to this generation so that we can spread it for the next generation, to spread it for the next generation to spread it. And that continues until the Lord Jesus Christ came back. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 15:16, Jeremiah said, thy word was unto me a joy and rejoicing of mine heart. A joy and rejoicing of mine heart. All of us could give that testimony. I was a Catholic boy. I wasn't saved till I was 21. When I saw the scriptures, when I saw the gospel, when I saw my sin, and I asked God to save me and trusted Jesus Christ, it truly, that was a joy and a rejoicing of my heart. And every one of us could give that testimony. But there's people all around the world, they don't have that joy. They don't have that rejoicing in their heart. And we must get the word of God to them. so that they can know the joy and the rejoicing of heart that others do. And you know, a man named William Cameron Townsend, he was a missionary in Guatemala. He made this statement. He said, "The greatest missionary is the Bible in the mother tongue." And then he went on to say, "It needs no furlough and it's never a foreigner." The greatest missionary is the Bible in the mother tongue. And you know, I can kind of attest to that. We lived in Belarus 15 years, and we had friends, and we learned to speak Russian, and we could do all that stuff. But you know, no matter what we did, there was always that we were always the foreigner. And it's hard to explain, but we could not communicate and we could not relate like a Belarusian could do a Belarusian. There was just something there all the time. And there's something about being able to pick up the Word of God and read it in your own language. And how blessed we are to have that. But others don't. And we've been able to check two of them off the list in the last couple of years. Praise God for that, but there's so much more to do. And folks, I just want to challenge you to pray that the Word of God can go out, but also to put feet to those prayers and send the Word of God out yourselves. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for